Blog Talk Radio.
But when it all, it all falls down, I'm telling you, oh, it all falls down. But when it all,
y'all can't handle the truth.
Come to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. In this first episode of An Israelite Indeed, we are going to be discussing what is an Israelite and what it means to be an Israelite indeed. We welcome you to join us as we examine the scriptures, that is, if you can handle the truth.
All right, shalom, everybody. Most high in the name of Christ bless you. We thank you for tuning in to another episode of our show. And as you heard, what we're going to discuss, we're going to do a two-part show, and it very well could end up being a three-part, depending how well the second part goes. But the topic we're going to cover is a very serious topic. We've been wanting to do this show for a minute. It's called An Israelite Indeed, because we hear a lot of people, on, especially on YouTube, have the title of Israelite. And teaching things, when you look at the scripture and you look at an Israelite and what an Israelite's supposed to be in Christ, and you see people teaching things that's contrary to the doctrines of Christ, contrary to the scriptures, people are teaching, they're putting a lot of burdens on people, burdens of men that are false doctrines, and that has nothing to do with salvation, you know, and just things that that's in their own minds, and uplifting men and giving men glory. Basically, if you're giving glory to men, you're denying Christ. And they also are telling men to do things that they have to do things for salvation, which is false and not according to scriptures. So that's something we're really gonna go into that. That's gonna be part of part two and three of Lord's will. But the first part, we want to deal with what is an Israelite, because a lot of people don't even understand what Israelite is, because I know when I first started learning the scriptures, I would go to people and talk about Israelites, and they'll be like, what is an Israelite? What's that? So we're going to try to briefly explain what an Israelite is, and then we're also going to go into what an Israelite is in Christ, what it means to be a true Israelite, an Israelite indeed.
Yeah, I want to just add to it, because like the brothers bringing out in the beginning, we want to know what it is to be of that family of Israel. It starts off in the Old Testament. Who is an Israelite and how Israelites came about. And then from there, Lord's will move on and, you know, part two or maybe even part three to prove what it is to really be an Israelite spiritually through Christ. Because that's what it really is. And that's what we really want to tackle. Because there's a lot of groups out here, like the brother brought out, that are not upholding what an Israelite indeed is in Christ. And that's what truly is important. But we have to go through the history part of it first, especially for those out there that don't even know what it is to even be a true Israelite, or like the lineage of an Israelite, where Israel even came about or how it came about. So it's very important to attack that also, because there's people out there that don't even know what it is. So that's really that.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of Christians that heard the term Israel, and one thing that automatically comes to the mind is a Jew. Which is somewhat true, because the term Jew came from the tribe of Judah, or that kingdom. And that kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, was at one time comprised of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. And that kingdom, when you read Acts the second chapter, was already, when they came to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost, they was already scattered all over the earth. Mm-hmm. And there was still a remnant of them left in Jerusalem. There was some. There was still a large amount of them left in Jerusalem, should I say, that migrated. I can't say how much of it. Was it a large amount? Was it more than what was scattered? I don't know. But I know there was a lot of them in Jerusalem that migrated down into the west coast of Africa. And a lot of people think the Jews, the true Jews, are the people that you see in Palestine today.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go into history, you find out that one thing you have to realize is that, well, if you check out history, was that the Ottoman Turks or the Ottoman Empire ruled that whole area. The whole Arab world was ruled by the Ottoman Empire. They ruled Turkey, which was their headquarters, but they also ruled up in Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, Iran. All that was controlled by the Ottoman Turks. And there were no so-called Europeans calling themselves Jews during that time before World War One. The Ottoman Turks fell during the time of World War One, when they were fighting against Great Britain and Russia and their allies. And I believe, if I remember the history correct, Germany was the ally of Ottoman Turks. But they fell and they lost all that land. That land was divided between the Greeks, Germans, the French, Russians. They divided that land into pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And they came up with the idea of putting the European Jews that was scattered throughout Western Europe and putting them in that land as the Jews. But those people were converts to Judaism out of the Kozak Empire. And they're the ones that put them there. But they weren't in that land. So you have to understand, the real Israelites were migrated down into West Africa, and they were scattered throughout the earth.
Well, I want to say something, too. And that's why a lot of people, they just know the history part of 1948, you know, when they were put into Israel as a people, saying that they identify them as the real biblical Jews according to the Bible.
Yeah.
And that, that Israel, or the so-called Jews of this, of what they say who the real Jews are, which are not the real Jews, but those people that are there now in that land since 1948, they're saying that they're gathering all the Jews all around the world to bring them back to their land.
Mm-hmm.
When the scriptures totally explains how the true original Israelites are going to get back to their land. The Bible tells you that. And Lord as well, we'll probably tackle one or two scriptures on that too, just to reach the people out there that think that those are the real Jews.
Okay. So we're going to open up a couple of scriptures explaining what an Israelite, who are the Israelites, because we know a lot of people don't know who the Israelites are. So for those of you who don't know, we're going to read a few scriptures explaining who they are. And for those of you who know you are Israelite, or believe you are Israelite, we're also going to explain what a true Israelite is in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing we're going to hit, because a lot of people have this problem with the name. That's going to be part of part two, is the name issue. People are making a big deal about the name,
mm-hmm.
you know. But what the scriptures is telling them to do, they ignore that, but they want to make the name an issue. That's another false burden that we're going to show, you know, Lord's will in the second or third part. I believe the second part, we're going to go into that.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, we're going to open up with Genesis 32. We'll start with Genesis 32 and verse 28. Like I said, we're going to take the whole show showing you who Israel is, but we want to make sure we lay a good foundation for those of you who don't understand who Israel is.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Genesis chapter 32, start what verse?
28.
And it reads, "And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Excuse me. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed."
So the Most High is telling Jacob here, the son of Abraham, Isaac. You have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which God says he made a covenant with Abraham, and his covenant went to Jacob, and his covenant went to Isaac, not Ishmael. Then later on, when Ishmael had Sorry about that. When Isaac had Jacob and Esau, his covenant went to Jacob. And now he's establishing Jacob as the line that he's going to be dealing with. That's going to be his 12 tribes of Israel. It's going to be his people. He said, look, your name is no longer Jacob,
mm-hmm.
but Israel is what your name is going to be.
Exactly.
All right. You got a point on it?
No, I'll wait. Are you just stopping there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do have a point then. Because when you look up, before we even continue, when you look up the word, depending on the next verse you go to, when you look up the word Israel here in the precept, what does it say in the precept? In Israel, in verse 28, you see the precept 1.
It says, that is a prince of God.
So that's an important part to understand before we move on. It says a prince of God. What does it mean to be a prince is what everybody got to understand. All right. In today's society, they see a prince as what we see the so-called Prince of England or whatever like that. So they deal with a queen, and through that queen, they don't deal with the patriarch. They deal with the matriarch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they go through that lineage that way. You know what I'm saying?
The son of the queen.
The son of the queen or the grandson of a queen, however it goes. But we, according to the Bible, we deal with the patriarch family. According to what we're dealing with now, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And through that lineage and through that seed, okay, that's where the Prince of Israel, how it makes sense that we are the sons of the Most High God, because we are the prince. It says right here, it says the Prince of God. So we're in that lineage. We're in that line of royalty. And we, as the children of Israel, that's what that name is going to, that we are a prince unto God.
Very good.
I just want to bring that out before you move on to the next scripture.
All right. The next one I want is Exodus 4.
See what I'm saying? I'm blending right in.
Okay.
All right.
Exodus 4:22.
Mm-hmm.
Give a little brief history on Israel. On the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
The role they play.
All right. So this is Exodus chapter 4, verse 22.
We're going to read 22 and 23.
Yep. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn.
So something very important is being said here. So the Most High is saying, look, the children of Israel, the descendants of Jacob, which became the nation of Israel, as you read the scriptures, went into Egypt and fell into bondage under the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
So the Most High came to deliver them through the hands of Moses. And he told Moses, look, tell Pharaoh, let Pharaoh know that Israel is my son, even my firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, then he come and said, let my son go that he may serve me. Mm-hmm. That's another important part. It, not only that he's his son, but that he also supposed to serve the Most High God.
Mm-hmm.
And Israel is the body of Christ. So Israel is not only a nation that was chosen by God to be his chosen people and his children, his princes and rulers of this earth,
mm-hmm.
but they were also chosen to be his servants. You can't just acknowledge you're an Israelite, but you're not a servant of God, because that's an important part. You have to be a servant of the Most High God. And to know how to serve God is contained in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
You had anything on that?
You about to move to another scripture?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to add to this. It's very important. I mean, it's common sense when you really read it, but it ain't so common to those because they don't have spiritual sense. But this is why we're bringing it out today. Verse 22 says, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. I mean, understand what's being read here. That's why I explained to you the scripture prior to this one, about how we're the prince of God.
Mm-hmm.
So a prince that is set up to be a ruler. You know what I'm saying? To set up to be king. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we're under the rulership of the Most High God, but we're going to explain it very clear what we mean by we're set up to be kings. We're going to explain it. But the whole point is here, we are the son of God. So Israel is the son of God. All right? And then we go on to say, verse 23, and I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. So that's why every time on the next verse, I always explain this, that's the reason why he killed the firstborn of the Egyptians.
Exactly.
It's very important to understand because that was their first son. That was their son. So the first son that they had to be slain, had to be put to death. Even the beast had to be put to death.
Yeah.
So it goes to show you that the Most High wasn't playing. He was showing his wrath at that time because he's letting you know, this is my son, Israel. So now I'm going to kill your firstborn because you won't let my firstborn go. So it's very important to understand that. That's the relationship the Most High has with Israel, and that's how serious he is about this. And he loves his son.
Yeah. And a lot of people have a problem with this when you read this and you say this to people because the fact of the matter is a lot of people don't like what the scriptures are saying. And a lot of people don't understand that the scriptures ain't for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll say they believe the scriptures, but a lot of things you'll read out of scriptures, they'll reject it. But the fact of the matter is that we've shown you is when you look in the Old Testament, the Most High had a chosen people.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to show you that has not changed. As we read on, you're going to see that. And whoever would receive it, let them receive it.
Because
we know a lot of people have a problem with that. But next scripture I want to read is Leviticus 25, because I want to also add a little something to it to understand the role that Israel played as the son of the Most High. And the place the other nations played, because right here you see the Egyptians. Moses wasn't told to tell the Egyptians to serve him. He was told to let Israel go so Israel will serve him. The Egyptians were serving the sun god, and the Most High didn't try to convert him out of that. He just wanted his people to come out and serve him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Leviticus 25, let's read 42 down to 46.
All right. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 42. For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt.
Talking about the Israelites.
They shall not be sold as bondmen.
Bondmen means slaves. We're not to be slaves. You know?
Thou shalt not rule over him with rigor, but shall fear thy God.
So he's telling other Israelites not to rule over their brothers, but to fear the Most High. And you have that going on a lot, too, in a lot of these Israelite groups. We're not supposed to be serving men. We're supposed to be serving God.
Exactly.
Brothers that are over congregations are supposed to help guide brothers and sisters on how to serve God, not to be princes and rulers over them. That's exactly. Something else we're going to cover, too, in our, you know, Lord's will in part two or three.
That's right.
Because that's wicked. That's off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, men, there's a lot of proud men out there.
Yeah, they want to be set up and be like Christ. They want to be the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So where we at? Verse 44?
43.
Oh, 43.
Yeah, read that again.
Okay. Leviticus 25, 43. Thou shalt not rule over him with rigor, but shall fear thy God. Both thy bondmen and thy bondmaids, which thou shalt have, shall be of the heathen that are round about you. Of them shall ye buy bondmen and bondmaids.
So God is telling the Israelites that their slave men and slave women that they should have should be of the heathens. The word heathens means the nations that are round about them. Of them shall they buy slave men and slave women.
Mm-hmm.
Read on.
Moreover, of the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, of them shall ye buy, and of their families that are with you, which they begot in your land, and they shall be your possession. And ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, ye shall not rule one over another with rigor.
So it's very important to understand this, because he's telling them here that the other nations were their servants.
That's right.
And they would be their servants forever.
That's right.
And Israel was supposed to teach them to follow the Most High and destroy the idols, which is going to happen in the kingdom, and that's another scripture you want to read, because that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's not changed. But what's changed is what people are teaching concerning what Israel is supposed to be doing. Because people right now are just teaching that we have to acknowledge that we're Israelites, but yet, like, that's it. You acknowledge you're Israelite, and you teach other people you're Israelite, and you continue in the same, you know, BS that the Israelites were doing when they fell into slavery for doing it.
That's right.
A lot of things that we're doing, when you read the scriptures, they're not teaching them to turn from these things.
No, they're the ones that like the scripture says, thou shalt not rule over him with rigor. Majority of the Israelite groups that's out here today, what are they doing? They're ruling over the Israelites with rigor. Mm-hmm. You know, they got to have that power. You know, you got to fall underneath some of these camps. If you're not in the truth to them, you're not part of them, you're not in the truth. So you got to be in their Israelite group in order to be in God's kingdom, in order to make it to his kingdom. And you got to be underneath their rulership. That's ruling with vigor.
That's a joke.
You know what I'm saying? It's really a joke. And a lot of you so-called men and women that's following these so-called leaders of Israel that's not following the scriptures, you need to repent and remove yourself from those different Israelite groups because they're not teaching the scriptures in spirit and in truth. They are not an Israelite indeed.
Exactly.
You know?
So I want to just bring out another scripture to back this up to show that this is the order that's going to be set up in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so because a lot of people, like I said, debate it. They don't believe it. For those who do trust in the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
according to as it is written, that's how it's going to happen. There's many scriptures, too, that prove that. But I'm just read one now. That's not the main focus of the show. Let me have something else.
Yeah, I just want to say this one part. Because a lot of people, they feel like, when they hear the word slavery or bondage or in someone's possession, they look at us, the so-called black men and Latinos, when we went into slavery.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? How we was mistreated, you know, and beaten upon and raped and murdered and tortured. So they look at that part of slavery and that's all they know. But not understanding that when Israel have these other nations in possession, they're going to be treated fairly. They're gonna be treated according to the laws of the Most High God. So they're not gonna be treated in that manner. Those that don't wanna serve Israel, they're not gonna be part of that kingdom that we're talking about that's to come. Because they're gonna be put to death because they don't wanna have Israel to rule over them. But you have to understand, that's why we're bringing all this out, to understand this is how it's gonna be, people, regardless if you wanna believe it or not, it's not gonna stop what's gonna come to pass. The so-called blacks and Latinos of this world, we are gonna rule this world. We are going to rule this world, and it, you know, and it is going to be what it is going to be, regardless of what your beliefs are.
And that was a good point you brought out, because when you go into history, when Israel was ruling over these other nations, it wasn't like the type of rulership and bondage that we suffered in slavery.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't treating them the way that we were treated in slavery. We weren't hanging them on trees for recreational. We weren't slaughtering them and sticking dogs on them and for our amusement. You know what I'm saying? We wasn't treating them like that when you go into the history. If you were being treated kind of like what you're being treated now when you go to work at the factory. Or you go to work at your job. That's how they were. They were working. They were laboring for us. They built built the cities for us, just like we built the cities of Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm. And of America.
And of America. So they weren't being treated as evil as we were being treated.
Exactly.
But anyway, Isaiah 60. To show you that it's gonna continue like that when the Most High set up his kingdom. You can read Isaiah 60. You can read Psalms 149. You can read, Jeremiah. There's many scriptures that bring this out. But we're just going to read this one scripture. Matter of fact, it's a few verses. Read verse 10 down to 12, and then we'll jump and read 14, and that'll be it.
All right. So Isaiah chapter 60, verse 10. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. There shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought.
So where it says forces, what does the precept say there for forces?
Forces says wealth.
Or wealth of the Gentiles, so mm-hmm. men may bring. So it's telling us that our gate is going to be open continuously.
Mm-hmm.
All right, read on.
Verse 12. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted.
And you said that earlier. You know, mm-hmm. the nation and kingdom that will not serve Israel, when this kingdom is set up, they're going to be destroyed.
That's right.
They're going to be destroyed. So that's how the Most High is setting up the kingdom. That's why he talks about Christ being the supreme Lord, King, and ruler. Then you have the 12 apostles,
mm-hmm.
which are all Israelites. Then you got the 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe.
All Israelites.
You know, like I said, it's all through the scriptures. It's just people have their own emotions and feelings about it. But that's what the scriptures are saying. Now, read verse 14 for me.
Verse 14 says, those sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee.
So the sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. That's all the nations. When you read the history, all the nations afflicted Israel in slavery and captivity. So their sons are going to come bending unto us. Mm-hmm. Read on.
And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel.
So check that out. So that's all prophecy. And the scripture says everything that the Most High prophesied is going to happen. So now we're going to go into the New Testament. Unless you got anything else?
Yeah, I want to add a little bit more. I just want to add a little bit more.
Yeah,
basically saying the same thing, but I just want to add a little bit more. Because I know there's a lot of people out there that really have young minds, you know, immature minds, don't really understand the scriptures. And then you got some Israelite groups out there that might be teachers, like the scriptures tell you, but that need to be taught again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because you don't really understand what it is to really understand the role that we play in these scriptures and how we are to be Israel according to the scriptures. But I just want to bring out this point. Actually, it's a couple of points. Did you have Psalms 2 or Revelations 2?
No.
Yeah, I just want to bring that out so you could they could really understand. Actually, you know what? Let me bring out Psalms 82 real quick. I just want to bring this point out before I go there.
Psalms 82?
Yeah, go to Psalms 82 first. I just want to bring this point out because it blends right in what we're talking about. But you can't rebuke or refuse what's coming out, man. You just can't. That's why I want to bring this out, just to show you so much proof. And I know we could read the Bible all night long, but I think this is a great connection. Go to Psalms 82, and we're going to read verse 6.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have said ye are gods,
mm-hmm.
and all of you are children of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
But ye shall die like men. And fall like one of the princes.
Mm-hmm.
Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations.
Yeah, see, I'm going into scripture because there's a couple of reasons why. And I'm going to explain it real clear because it ain't hard to really explain this. It is that some people read it and don't understand it. But it ain't hard to explain, though. All right? So it says, I have said ye are gods. You got to understand, because he's talking about Israel here. Why is Israel called gods? Because we just explained in the beginning that we're the son of God. We're the firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
We're his children. So it's just showing you that we're in that bloodline that of royalty. We're going to be the gods and rulers of this earth. Because God just means power and authority. But the Most High God has children that he set up as prince of the earth because we're going to rule the earth. So that's how come he's referring to us as gods.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes on to say, and all of you are the children of the Most High. See what I'm saying? That's why we're called that. And then verse 7 says, but ye shall die like men and fall like one of the prince. There's plenty of precepts to go here on this, but I'm not going to go through it now. But all it's basically saying is, just like princes are set up today, and there's kings and different rulerships of the world today. They have princes, they got kids that come up and rule in their stead after they die. You know what I'm saying? And then it continues to roll over to the next generation. But yet, they die. They could never come back again. They die. So scripture say if we want to act like men, we're going to die like men. Because if we're the prince of the Most High God, we're going to have eternal life at the end and we shall never die.
Yeah.
So that's what the scriptures is going into. It's easy to explain, very easy and very simple. And there's many scriptures that go into it, but for time's sake, because we want to continue on, I'm just bringing this out for a reason. You're going to know why when I go to the next scripture.
I want to add some to that too, because that's what Christ was telling the Pharisees. He was saying, Is it not written in your law that ye are gods?
Exactly.
You know, so if the Most High called them gods and to whom the scriptures came.
Exactly.
Because it's letting you know that the ones he's talking to, he's not talking to all people when Christ makes that statement.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's talking to the children of Israel
because
they were given the divine laws of God and how to judge the world through the laws of God. That's why I put them on that other level, the level of judging, of being judges.
Mm-hmm. So read verse 8 one more time.
Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations.
Yeah, so who's that verse talking about, brother? After we just finished reading what we just read, who's that verse talking about?
It's talking about us.
It's talking about the Israelites that's going to judge the other nations. But where did we get that from? How did we receive that? That's what I want to go into real quick. Go to Psalms now. Go to Psalms chapter 2. Now let's go to Psalms chapter 2. Because you really have to explain this to a lot of people because they don't get it right away.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, I never heard that before. Sound like y'all twisting the scriptures. Let's go to Psalms chapter 2 and read verse 6.
Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion.
And who's the king that he's referring to? We're going to keep reading and hopefully you'll figure it out.
I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathens for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession.
So this is a heavy scripture. It's just showing you that Christ is that king that the scripture is referring to.
Mm-hmm.
And the Most High God is saying what? Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance. That's how come, you know what, brother? I'm just going to bring it out now, too, because we're going to do a show on the Gentiles, just to explain what the Gentiles is really going into. Because a lot of people don't understand the other nations, what is he referring to, are the Gentiles. He's referring to the natural Gentiles, those that are outside the children of Israel. Those are who the Israelites are going to inherit. That's why you even got certain Israelite groups out there teaching that the Gentiles are going to have the kingdom with us. It's very confusing because who are we going to inherit then?
Yeah.
Well, who's going to be in our possession if they share the kingdomship and the rulership with us?
Exactly.
It don't make no sense, people.
Because they don't understand that it's the Israelites that were scattered among the Gentiles are going to be gathered to the nation of Israel, and they're going to rule. Even the scripture in we didn't read that part in Isaiah, the 60th chapter. It talks about after destruction that the nations are going to grab our sons and daughters that are among them and bring them to wherever the Most High has Israel gathered in the wilderness, they're going to bring them to us, you know, and come bowing down serving. It tells you that in Isaiah, the 60th chapter.
That's right. So when you see here in verse 8, it says, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance. When you talk about the heathen, there's another word for the Gentiles. It's the same thing, the other nations that are not Israel. So then it goes on to say, in the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Read verse 9, and then I'm going to show you. This is who God is saying to Christ, I'm going to give you this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, read verse 9.
Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Verse 10.
Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth.
All right, so I'm just showing you this because the point I'm trying to make is the Most High God gave Christ this gift. He gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Saying you're gonna rule. Now let's go to Revelations 2 now.
Oh yeah, he's really doing that.
Yeah,
that's a good connection.
That's why I'm just bringing it out from because of the topic we're talking about.
Where Christ gives it to us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you gotta understand how this came about and how we're gonna receive this. Is all Israel gonna rule the other heathen nations? Let's find out right now when we read this scripture. Is all Israel just because you Israel you automatically gonna receive this? Because that's what a lot of you Israelite groups out there are teaching. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. Read this.
And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nation.
Now check that out. See, you got to understand, everyone ain't receiving this just because you was born of Israel. I don't care if you could prove your DNA all the way back to Adam. I don't care if you could prove whatever, even though we know you can't, but let's give you that. If you're not reading these scriptures and following them and applying them, and it's part of who you are, part of your true spiritual DNA, you're not going to inherit these nations, people. I don't care how much you think you could break down the 12-tribe breakdown and all that. You're not going to inherit the nations, brothers and sisters, because you are not overcoming. You're not keeping the statutes and the commandments through Christ. So how are you going to overcome and inherit this possession?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not following the laws of Christ.
It's very key that you understand the first part of the scripture, verse 26, where it says, he that overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Overcome what?
Mm-hmm. What are you overcoming?
As we go on, we're going to explain this clearly because a lot of people are not understanding. They're thinking that as long as you're out there having camp and you are putting fringes on a garment and you speak in Hebrew, you're good. But there's a lot more to this than that. That's not even, that don't even have anything to do with anything. You know what I'm saying? Those are false burdens. He that overcome is talking about overcome your flesh, the lust of the flesh. And we're going to show you that. It says, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. What is his works?
Wow.
See, we have to be converted. Our minds have to be converted to be like Christ. We have to become Christ-like. And that's not, that doctrine ain't being taught, but that's the understanding that was brought forth by Christ that a lot of people don't understand. And they didn't understand it back then.
That's right.
They knew the Hebrew. They knew God's name in Hebrew. They knew they were Israelites and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't stop them from falling and going into captivity.
Just like today, a lot of you people don't realize that these so-called Israelite leaders that are so-called ruling you today, they're not overcoming their lust. They're showing you right, like they're showing you like straight face, that they're ruling, that they're Christ. You got to serve him. You know what I'm saying? They're telling you straight up and down. General Yohanan commands all camps to come underneath him. Are you serious? You're telling you right to your face, he Christ. We're supposed to be under Christ. He's our king.
Yeah.
We're under him. It don't make no sense. Then you got other these other camps out here. You see, we jumping ahead, but it's just the point. It has to be understood, people, that everyone has to overcome their lusts and their desires before you can even inherit the possession. So read verse 26 one more time.
And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations.
To him shall I give power over the nations. Who is he talking to? Who is this that's even talking in the first place? Let's read verse 27, and we're going to give you the answer.
And it's funny because they're saying all nations are going to go to the kingdom, but
then
who are they going to be ruling over?
Who are they ruling over?
It brings us right back to Leviticus, what we read, Leviticus 25, verse 42 down to 46. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen all over again.
Mm-hmm. You can't stop it either.
So who's going to be the slaves then? This false Christian doctrine that y'all have out there.
Who's these other nations?
Where y'all still serving the sun god?
Mm-hmm. Where are these other nations coming from? Because if you ain't of Israel, you're a heathen or a Gentile. There's no other nation nowhere else. That's what you're labeled. So where this other nation coming from if Israel and the Gentiles are together? It don't make no sense because you don't understand the scriptures.
None at all. Verse 27.
Yeah.
And he shall rule them with a rod of iron.
Hmm.
As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers.
Sounds familiar.
Okay. Even as I received of my father.
See, who received what of the father? We just read in Psalms 2 that was talking about Christ. Christ received that from the Father, and Christ is saying, now I'm going to give it to the children of Israel that overcome. I'm going to give it to the children of Israel that overcome. I'm going to give you the possession of the heathen, the other nations. That's what I'm going to give you. That's why, people, this isn't Revelations. It's talking about Israel ruling and having possession of the whole entire world because we're the prince of God. That's why it's important to understand the word Israel and what it means. We are the prince of God, and we are gods, and we do rule this earth. Well, when we overcome, that is, if we overcome our lusts, the lust of fornication, the lust of idolatry, the lust of adultery, okay? The lust of all these things we have to overcome, the lust of hatred, hating each other out here in this world today. Israelites calling themselves Israelites and hating Israelites. But if we bring out the true understanding of Christ, just like Christ was hated, those that are really teaching these scriptures in spirit and truth is going to be hated. We're not more powerful or more above Christ. He was hated. We're going to be hated too. So this topic we're bringing out today, we're going to even be more targeted and hated for a lot of you Israelite groups out there. You know what I'm saying? But we don't care because we're going to teach the scriptures in spirit and truth, and we don't care. So let's read verse 27. And 28, and then I want to bring out this one more scripture, and we'll move on.
And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As a vessel of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I receive of my father. And I will give him the morning star.
Verse 29, you got to hit that.
He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches.
Yeah, everything that's coming out, if you have an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Because this is all spiritual, people. All right? Read the Bible for yourself and understand. All these things we're bringing out today, it got to make sense to you. I mean, it got to make sense. Ain't nobody twisting no scripture. All these scriptures got to make sense. Please study to show thyself approved unto God.
The last part you said, hear what the Spirit said unto the churches.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you go back to Acts, it talks about that Moses was in the wilderness with the church. And the church is talking about was the Israelites.
Exactly.
So the church is talking about the gathering of the children of Israel.
All right, this is the last scripture I'm going to go to, and I'm going to give it to you. This is Psalms chapter 47. This is a great connection, too. I know I'm killing it, but I don't care. Because a lot of you people out there don't know no better, man. Y'all don't understand. Some of y'all are trapped in that web of deception of these so-called Israelite leaders. You in awe by the way they break down scriptures. You in awe by the way they speak and their eloquent speak and, I don't know, their garments or their pizzazz or whatever it is. You in awe. Nah, you need to pay attention and read for yourself because this is your soul that we're talking about. Psalms chapter 47. Let's read verse 1.
The problem is with Israel. Israel always wanted a king. They always want a king. Even back in the Old Testament, they want a king.
Mm-hmm.
And the Most High said he's their king.
That's right.
So they're still looking for a man to rule over them.
They're looking for someone to hold their hand. Nobody don't want to study for themselves. Oh, my pastor said. Or, oh, general said. Or, elder said. A chief high priest said. No, nobody want to read for themselves to see what it says. You want everybody to hold your hand. Don't nobody want to study to see what the scriptures are saying. All right? Read Psalms 47 and 1. Read that.
Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord Most High is terrible.
Mm.
He is a great king over all the earth.
Check that out. Ain't nobody a king over the Most High God. Mm-hmm. And he set up Christ to be a king. And then he's going to set up Israelites to be the kings and rulers of this earth. That's just all the scriptures tell you that. But let's read on.
He shall subdue the people under us.
Say that again.
He shall subdue the people under us.
Who's the people that's going to be subdued? Subdued means controlled. Under our control. A possession, people.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to possess these people. That's why it's very important to know and understand what it is to be an Israelite. And the gifts that was given to our forefathers down to the children today. The children of Israel. We're going to receive this gift, those that overcome their lust. This is a gift from the Most High God. Read it one more time, verse 3.
He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet.
So who's the nations that he's referring to? Because if you're not the children of Israel, you're another nation, meaning the Gentiles.
The heathens.
Meaning the heathens. You understand? There's no other nation that's going to disappear. This is what the scriptures is saying, people. Now read verse 4 and bring it home.
You shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved.
So he loved Jacob. And Jacob's name was changed to what again? Israel. So he loves the Israelites. He loves his firstborn. He loves his son, Israel. And he says, you know what? Check this out in verse 4. He, meaning the Most High God, he shall choose our inheritance for us. And he chose it for us. The excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. And what did he choose for us? That we're going to inherit the other nations. That's what he chose for us. So you can't deny these scriptures, people. This hasn't been fulfilled yet. This prophecy has not been fulfilled yet. It's still in the process of being fulfilled because Christ said in Revelation 2 and 26, those that overcome. The overcoming part didn't happen yet because Christ didn't come yet to give us that gift that God gave us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. And for those of you who may have missed the beginning, Jacob's name was turned to Israel. We read that in the beginning, Genesis 32:28. Okay. Now, before we go in to show you who the Israelites are, we're going to take a quick promo, the Israelites in the New Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Take a quick promo break.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake on Thursdays at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.
All right, shalom, everybody. Welcome back. Shalom, everybody. Welcome back. We're going to continue with the show in Israelite Indeed. We're going to pick back up at Romans, the 9th chapter. We're going to start. There's some heavy points that's brought out in the scripture. We want to read it for everybody and remind you this is the New Testament, the New Covenant for all the Christians out there. And it's going to tell you something very, very important about the Israelites. And then there's a very important part that I like to hit in verse 6. But let's start at 1 and work our way down. This is Paul speaking.
Yeah, and it goes to show you, too, when we go into this chapter, that nothing changed from the Old Testament to the New. It's all still the same, just like we did in Revelations 2. Christ spoke and brought it out. Now Paul is going to speak and bring it up. All right. So Romans chapter 9, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself was accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh.
So right here is kind of clear that Paul is talking about a people that are of his family, his blood, his nationality. That's why he says, my kinsmen, my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, meaning of the same genealogical descendant as he is.
Exactly.
Not spiritual Israel, but
through the bloodline.
Through the bloodline, the lineage. Yeah. Thank you.
Let me just bring out this one scripture real quick. Romans 11 and 1, just going to bring out why Paul said that. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. Meaning, no, I didn't cast them off. For I also am an Israelite, because this is Paul talking. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Okay. So it just shows you that he's from that lineage, and he is an Israelite. All right.
Verse 4.
I'm going to read verse 3 again to 4.
Okay, that's good.
For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Okay? Who are Israelites?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Who are Israelites? To whom pertain the adoption?
So I want to stop there for a second because the word pertain means belong to.
That's right.
The adoption belongs to Israel. Now, what does adoption mean? Adoption means that you have a people that were being punished by God and were going to be cast off, but through the blood of Christ, they're forgiven for their sins, and they are allowed to come back to him.
Yeah, he adopted them back.
But they have to repent first for their sins to be cast away. They can't You can't be forgiven for idolatry and you're still in idolatry.
Exactly.
You have to put away idolatry, become that new creature that no longer is an idolater, and then the Most High will throw that up, forgive you for the idolatry that you did before.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't come in as an idolater and think he's going to forgive you and wipe you clean. No, you have to. That's what the word repentance means. That's what the word baptism means. That's what the word conversion means. That's what the word born again means. It means that you have became that new person that no longer deals in that type of activity. Your mindset is different now. But I want to get one quick scripture on that. Hold that and get, we're going to come right back to it, but get me Galatians, the fourth chapter. I just want to read something on adoption.
All
right. I think this scripture right here kind of explains it. Galatians 4 and 4. If I read 4 and 5, Galatians, the fourth chapter, verse 4 and verse 5.
Start at 4?
Yeah. This backs up what
we just read.
What we just read, exactly. Right.
Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive adoption of sons.
So it's telling you, it's a redemption. To redeem them that were under the law, meaning the Israelites. Everybody was under the law. So that adoption only pertains to or belonged to the children of Israel. That's very clear, man. That's why I don't understand how all these churches are going to teach this doctrine that it's everybody. And it's going to tell you a lot more. Go back to Romans 9.
Yeah, because a lot of people today, they look at the word adoption and they don't understand the adoption according to the Bible versus the adoption according to the Webster Dictionary or something. The adoption that they know as far as the world adopts a child that's really not of their family but has different parents. They're not their original parents, but they adopted them. Mm-hmm. That's how the world's looking at adoption.
But they still, you know, become their child now.
Exactly. They still become their child. Not understand that the family was once a family, but then since they went against their father, the father cast them off, and they're no longer his son. You're not my son no more. Because you're not following the rules that I gave you to be my son. But now, if you want to follow the rules and repent and come back, then I'm going to adopt you back. That's what the Most High God is saying. Mm-hmm. So the world got to understand that. So where we at? Verse 5. Let me read it again.
Read verse 4 again because we didn't finish it.
Okay.
Just to add a little more to what we're saying is that, so when the adoption took place, it wasn't just the tribe of Judah, but it was also the other tribes also that were scattered and that were came over to the Americas and that were, like I was saying, scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. They were all allowed back in.
Yeah, the northern kingdom.
Yeah, that's why Paul was raised up to go to the Gentiles, go to the ones that were scattered and bring them back into the fold.
Exactly.
All right, go ahead.
So Galatians 4 and 4. But when the fullness...
Romans.
Oh, go back to Romans?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Romans 9 and 4.
Sorry about that.
So, you know, while you get there, I just want to make some more points on that because that's why the Jews had a problem because when you look at the division between the northern and southern kingdom and the wars that was fought, you will understand. And how in the book of Amos, I believe, the Most High told the children of Israel, he kept Judah and Benjamin and told the other families that they were cast off from being his people.
Mm-hmm.
So through Christ, that middle wall of partition between them was broken down and they were allowed to come back in. So go ahead, read that.
Yeah, we're going to definitely do a show on the Gentiles so you can further more understand what that's going into. So Romans 9 and verse 4, who are Israelites to whom pertain the adoption and the glory and the covenants?
So this is saying so much. Each point here is very powerful and it shut down all the churches. So Israelites pertain the adoption, meaning they could come back to God as his sons and daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And the glory. The glory is ruling in the kingdom of heaven. the things we read about, that the 10 men of the other nations shall take the skirt of him that is a Jew and say, come, for we have heard the Lord is with you. That's glory. That all the other nations will look up to the children of Israel as being gods on the earth, as they rule the earth under Christ. That's glory. Then it says, and the covenants, with an S.
Wow.
So that's letting you know that the new covenant that people say, oh, the new covenant, that means everybody's in, the new covenant, Gentiles. This is telling you that the new covenant and the old covenant, we already know the old covenant was for the Israelites, for those of you who don't know it. But this right here is telling you that also the new covenant is for the Israelites.
No
all right?
No room for nobody else.
All right, we done?
And the giving of the law.
We know that. They was giving the laws of the Most High. You know, what to eat, what not to eat, what days to celebrate, what days is regular days, what days is pagan days, you know what I'm saying, that we're not supposed to acknowledge. All that, dietary laws. How to deal with your brother, how to deal with your wife, all that was given to the Israelites. And a better understanding of that was given to them in the new covenant under Christ.
That's right.
Right.
Under that baptism of Christ opened up the door to other things that other Israelite groups don't understand. That word baptism, and when you look into the baptism, is real heavy because a lot of people just think it's the dunk in the water. And a lot of other groups that think they know what baptism is, which they say is of Christ, which is true. But it goes deeper into just him dying for us. It opened up the door to the new covenant, that baptism, that a lot of you guys are still, you know, fasting on the Day of Atonement and don't understand what fasting really is. You know, the Feast of Tabernacles. It opened up the door to all that. You building the booth, and we are the booth spiritually. Like, it just opens the door to a lot of things, people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it says, who are Israelites to whom pertain the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises.
And the promises. Pertain to means belong.
That's right.
The promises belong to Israel, no one else. What is the promises? The kingdom of heaven.
Those inheritance.
That, eternal life.
Yeah, man. All that.
All these things will promise to the children of Israel. Not everybody. How can you read this and walk away and say, no, it belongs to everybody?
Where you see that at?
That's being rebellious. All right, read on.
Verse 5. Whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came?
So who did Christ come for?
The Israelites. Why, who did he die for? The Israelites.
There's something I always like to bring out. You know, it's so simple because think about this. The Israelites came out of Egypt and was given the laws. The Egyptians get the laws?
No.
Chinese?
No.
Japanese?
No.
Edomites, which are white people?
No.
No other person got the laws, right?
No.
But the Israelites. So who are sacrificing animals for their sins?
Well, we were given that. The Israelites were
the Israelites. Was the Israelites were the one breaking the law.
That's right.
So now explain this to me. How Christ came and died for the Chinese breaking the law, or the Egyptians breaking the law, when they didn't have the law?
Never had it in the first place.
So that doesn't make any... I'm still trying to figure out how does that make sense. They didn't have the law. The Israelites had the law. They broke the law. They had to be adopted back to the Father. And we read that in Galatians.
And the only way that the other law... Excuse me. The only way that the nations could be gathered among all... The Israelites could to be gathered that was scattered among all the other nations, to be gathered back, Christ had to shed his blood, that blood of baptism, in order for them to be adopted back.
Mm-hmm. And bring them the understanding. I always got to bring that. Bring them the understanding on how to please the Father, because they did not understand.
Yeah.
And they still don't understand. A lot of them still don't understand.
There's a higher learning through Christ, through the new covenant of that baptism, that a lot of Israelite groups out there don't understand.
That's why the scriptures tell us that Christ has a preeminence in all things. In the book of Colossians tell us that.
Yeah.
He has the preeminence in everything. So
let me bring up this one scripture. This is one, the famous scripture we always use, because it's very important to bring this up.
Mm-hmm.
This scripture, so-called all Israel camps kill this scripture. But this definitely got to be understood. Psalms chapter 147, verse 19. He show his word unto Jacob, meaning the Israelites, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel, meaning his law, statutes, and his commandments. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So the scripture just tells you straight up and down that he only gave the law to the children of Israel. Okay? He didn't give it to no other nation. So that's what the brother was just bringing out, and Paul was bringing out in this scripture. All right? The service of God, that's what that's going into. Okay? The giving of the law, the promises, all that was only given to who? One people. That was the Israelites. It wasn't given to no other nation under heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So now go to verse 6.
Yeah, Romans 9 and 6.
Romans 9 and 6. Not as though the word of God have taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel.
That's the scripture we really wanted, because this scripture is, we went through all that to get to here.
Exactly. That's exactly why we did all that.
Because you tell you all this great thing about Israel, so a lot of people come into the knowledge and awakening that they're Israelites. But what is, why he's saying not all Israel is of Israel? What is he talking about?
Wow.
And we have to understand the scripture, because we want to be the Israelite that's of Israel, or as Christ would say, an Israelite indeed.
Exactly. What does that mean?
Let's go to a couple of scriptures real quick. Galatians, the 6th chapter.
Jesus, took too much, bro.
Galatians 6. And let's read verse 15 and 16.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God.
See, the Israel of God. So it's saying there's two Israels. There's one Israel that doesn't belong to God, and there's another Israel that's of God, or that's adopted by God. But the key of that answer on who is the Israel of God is in verse 15, where it says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. This is the key right here. But a new creature. Now we have to understand, what does it mean, a new creature? This is what we're going to read. We're going to deal with it, because when you see that term, a new creature, again, it's saying the same thing as baptism.
Same thing, man.
It's saying the same thing as born again.
Same thing.
It's saying the same thing as a new mind.
Mm-hmm.
All these things that the scripture, all these terms are to be converted. All these terms the scripture uses, the same exact thing it's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to explain it. Go to the scripture here, explains it. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 22.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust.
So it's telling you put on the former conversation. I want to look at this thing, conversation. I want to deal with the scripture here, and we're going to come back to this.
Put off the concerning.
That ye put off concerning the former conversation.
That's right.
Let's go to, let's hold this. I want to come back to this, but let's go to Matthew's, the 12th chapter. You know exactly where I'm going with this.
Because
we brought this scripture out too.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew's the 12th chapter. Let's start at verse 34.
Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
So when it talks about put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, because within you, the reason why the conversation is corrupt, because like Christ is saying here, O generation of vipers, how can being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, meaning the mind, the mouth speaks. So if you're a man that think about lusting all the time, what you going to speak? You're going to speak concerning lust. You're going to be looking at women talking, whistling, and talking about having sex with this woman, that woman. Because that's what you, that's what's in your mind all the time. If you're a thief, you and your criminals that you hang out is going to be talking about stealing and doing criminal acts.
That's right.
If you're into idolatry, you're going to be waiting around when the pagan holidays come up. Be calling the family and talking about all the pagan holidays you're going to celebrate.
That's right.
All these things are the things that's going to be inside of you because those are the things that your mind is set upon.
So that's your conversation.
Exactly. That's your conversation. So when you come into Christ, can that still be your conversation? Can you still be talking about going to the strip clubs? Can you still be talking about fornication? And then the next time you're talking about come serve Christ, come learn about being an Israelite. You can't do both. That's why this scripture is heavy, because it says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Read on.
Yeah, and a lot of people, they don't really understand that a lot of people hold stuff in, you know, secretly. But the Most High will reveal it later on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people be faking the funk as great leaders in these churches, but, you know, it'll be revealed later on who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people know who you are. You know, me and Hashiel was talking about this, you know, on the phone. You know, we was kicking it about certain individuals we know that call themselves, you know, Israelite leaders or elders or whatever you want to call them. But yet and still, they're wicked. And the group that is around them don't really know they wicked yet. Because why? It's brand new to them. They don't know no better. They don't know this man is wicked. Because why? He didn't come at you and become wicked towards you and offend you yet. That's all. He's holding back right now. But sooner or later, his true colors are going to show. And he's going to offend someone in that congregation or that church. And it's going to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
His nakedness will be revealed. So don't worry. Because this scripture itself, it's going to reveal itself.
And a lot of us that's in our church, the body of Christ, you'll mm-hmm. find we've been around a lot of these dudes that you see that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we know their wickedness. We know all the wickedness they have done. And a lot of you guys are underneath these guys thinking they some righteous individuals.
That's right.
But they're not righteous individuals. And the scriptures talk about how a bishop is to be blameless. And these dudes are... they're definitely not blameless.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
All right. Also, when you look at the scripture, too, I was just thinking about when it says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. You got a lot of dudes out there with a lot of anger, a lot of hatred in them that they never dealt with, never repented of, because that's not part of their doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not trying to be reconverted
mm-hmm.
into Christ-like.
Mm-hmm.
So they still got that hatred and that anger in them, and they take it out on their congregation.
That's right.
They still got that lust to be some great man in the earth and to be looked up to as a Lord, and they take it out on their congregation.
Exactly. Matter of fact, I'm glad you made that point, because this is another thing. We're going to bring all this out later, but still, the spirit is coming out now with some of this. I just want to tackle it. When someone commits an offense towards the Most High God, like schisms and divisions in these churches. When you read the scripture we just read and the scripture we read prior to this, it's your conversation. So if you lie on a brother or a sister in that congregation and you instigating and you causing a schism and division in your congregation, that's part of your conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of your division and your schisms, meaning you're causing an uproar or a split in a congregation or a church. And you're gathering a group of people on this end so they can hate another couple groups of people on that end. So you starting with lies. You're coming out with lies and instigating so other people could be hated because you plant that seed in their mind to believe that. That you're an instigator. You're creating a schism and division in your own church. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when you do things like this, you're going to be exposed. You understand? And then you want to try to point your finger at the people that you're lying on and make it look like that they're foolish or they're ignorant, when yet yourself is the one that's ignorant and foolish. But it'll come out. The truth always comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So let's finish reading this, and you'll see that there's people out there like that, but they fit this scripture we're reading right now. So this is Matthew chapter 12, verse, I'm going to read verse 34 again, because you're going down, further down, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to read 34 again. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good things. And the evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things.
So we want to be those people. A good man out of the good treasures of the heart bring forth good things.
Mm-hmm.
So the heart is referring to the mind. So our minds can't be in evil.
Exactly.
Our minds got to be transformed from evil into righteousness.
That's right.
So when we do speak, what are we bringing forth? We're bringing forth righteousness.
The truth according to the scriptures.
So that's why we got to become those new creatures, because mm-hmm. the way you think is how you act. You got to change the way you think.
That's right.
You can't mm-hmm. be in Christ and still be thinking evil. That's why I tell you in Corinthians, the 10th chapter, about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. Mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds,
mm-hmm.
casting down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, meaning that we have to bring these evil thoughts into captivity, mm-hmm. into subjection, into the knowledge of Christ. It's very clear.
Verse 36.
Yeah, go ahead, read that.
But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment.
Mm.
That's heavy right there.
Yeah.
So a lot of those things, like I said, you know, about earlier when people, because a lot of Israelite groups out there, you understand all the splits that took place. And a lot of times it's evil men that creates these splits,
mm-hmm.
if not every darn time. And they're going to have to give account for the things they said to split these churches up. The Most High God is going to rewind that tape and then press play. And he's going to say, what did you say right there? Why did you just lie on your brother right there? Why did you just cause the schisms and divisions and you was plotting to split that church up? You're not an Israelite indeed.
You see, the thing is, they were not teaching brotherly love and how to deal with one another.
Exactly.
And how to deal with your wife and love your wife.
Exactly.
And deal with your children.
Mm-hmm.
They're busy teaching the Hebrew.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And what the father name is.
You got to know the Hebrew. And what the father's name is. Uh-huh. You got to know about the Roman Empire and the mm-hmm. Greek Empire and mm-hmm. this empire.
The 12 tribe breakdown.
You know, all this stuff. But about the inner man, how to change from that evil man into a righteous man, they weren't dealing with that.
Exactly. How to deal with one another.
And I know that personally, because mm-hmm. I went there and I seen the spirit and the vibration there. It was like, you know, you was in the hood and a nigga in the street. Niggas sizing you up and looking at you.
And you supposed to be my brother, Israelite indeed?
That's how I'm looking. I'm like, they're like, what the hell is going on here?
This is wicked. Wicked.
Straight up wickedness. All right, let's go back to...
Let's just read... I want to read verse 37.
Yeah, read that.
All right. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned.
Because like the scripture said, the words is coming from your mind. And if your mind is corrupt, your words are going to be corrupt. Your actions are going to be corrupt.
That's right.
Because don't think a conversation is just talking about your talk. Because your talk is connected with your actions. Because mm-hmm. most dudes that talk about drugs, use drugs. Most dudes that talk about fornicate. Most people that talk about idolatry, commit idolatry.
Exactly.
Most people that talk about hatred and all that, fight and do everything else that deals with hatred.
Yeah, they strive and start things.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So it all goes hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to Ephesians, unless you got...
No, I'm good.
Ephesians 4. Yeah, read 22 down to 24.
All right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, and it reads, that ye... cut off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
See, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 22 is beautiful too. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those lusts that we have is what makes us corrupt. And we have to put that off and put on the new man that is renewed in our minds. And that mind is supposed to be formed after Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All right, read on.
Verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
See? So we have to be changed. There's a change coming here. You have to be converted, have to be born again, have to be washed.
Baptized,
whatever word you want to use, because the baptism is talking about you killing that old man and becoming that new man.
That's right.
That's what it's all talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can dip in water, you can go dip yourself in water 100 times and still come out a fornicator.
That's right.
What happened when you go fornicate again, or when you go lie again, when you go steal again, you're going to go dip yourself in the water again?
You're just going to keep dipping yourself in the water?
You're not truly baptized until you change your mind, until your mind is changed from that evil man into the new man.
Mm-hmm.
And it also tells you that when you read verse 12 on down. That's why the Most High is giving prophets and teachers. We're going to bring that out later, that this is the purpose why he's giving prophets and teachers, so that we be changed into Christ-like.
That's right.
All right. Let's go to, if you ain't got nothing, let's go to St. John's, where Christ used that scripture.
Yeah.
St. John's, the first chapter.
Which one do you want, though?
No, before we go there, give me Colossians 3. I want to read Colossians 3 one more time. I want to read Colossians 3 first because it uses the term new creature. And then we'll go to St. John's. Read Colossians 3, verse 9 and 10.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him.
So that image is Christ. Was Christ the one that created us?
Mm-hmm.
So he said, "You." And then it also brings you right back to the New Testament to the Old Testament. God said he made man in his image.
Mm-hmm.
So he's talking about we were created to be righteous and holy. We was given the laws of the Most High to be righteous and holy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was, and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge. Renewed in the knowledge. Born again in the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
After the image of him that created him. So we're supposed to be born again in the knowledge of Christ.
Yeah, put on the mindset of Christ.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So now I want to read Romans also, Romans 12.
Before you go back to St. John's. Nah,
let's go to St. John's.
Yeah, we might want to round it up.
Yeah, we don't got that much time. Right. St. John's 1:47.
St. John chapter 1, verse 47, and it reads, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, on whom is no guile.
So Christ is saying this of Nathanael. He said, An Israelite indeed. And the key part in this scripture, and he breaks it down what he mean by Israelite indeed in the last part of the scripture, last part of the verse,
mm-hmm.
when he said, In whom is no guile. Now, when you check out the word guile, that word covers a lot of ground. Because it's going into being deceitful. Because if we say we are Israelites and we're stealing, we're lying, we're fornicating, we're laying with whores and things of that nature, and laying with women and not marrying them, which is contrary to the laws of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
That's all God. That's all deceit. We're not Israelites. You're not an Israelite if you're committing these sins, because there's a scripture that talks about, matter of fact, in Romans, where it talks about a Jew. You saying that you're a Jew and you speak against these things, but yet by committing these things, the name of the Lord is blasphemed among the nations.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. It's saying the same thing, because if you're saying you're an Israelite,
why are you committing these acts?
Yeah, and you're committing these acts, you're bearing hatred towards your brother.
Yeah.
You speaking evil about your brother behind his back and things of that nature, you ban that hatred and that evil spirit,
mm-hmm.
then you're not an Israelite, bro. You're not an Israelite indeed.
No, you're
deceiving yourself. Because all these things fall under God. You have to be sincere in what you're saying, and you have to study and understand what you're saying. You got anything, bro?
Well,
I know you got some things you want to bring up.
Yeah, but I know it's only... Yeah, I'll bring one or two out. But It's just real sad, bro. When you're bringing this out, it's like I'm just in awe just listening, because we know so many people out there that call themselves Israelites, but yet they're not an Israelite indeed, because there's a lot of guile in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot of deceit. And a lot of these leaders of these so-called camps is deceiving a lot of children of Israel that really want to know the knowledge of the Most High God. They're really sincere. And I feel sorry for those that fall into, you know, these hands of wicked leaders in Israel today, because you don't know no better. You know what I'm saying? But you have to start reading for yourself, and don't believe everything that someone tells you. And that's what's important to really know, because a lot of people just want to believe their so-called leader and don't really understand what it is to be wicked. There's like so many scriptures to go into dealing with this. But I just want to bring out this one scripture. We're short for time, and I know how I am. I want to go to another one, then another one, then another one. But I just want to go to 1 Peter real quick. I'm just going to bring out really just this one scripture, really. Or maybe two, who knows?
Yeah, I got one out of my hip too. Yeah. On that God thing.
I just want to hit 1 Peter 5, because we keep talking about these leaders of these different Israelite camps, and I just want to bring this point out. I think it's very important to bring this point out. So 1 Peter chapter 5, let's just start at verse 1 and bring this up.
You want to hear them talk
it? Yeah, I know, but I still want to bring it out, because we've been talking about it. I just want to just bring this one part out. What scripture do you have? That,
no, I was just going to read Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, chapter 5. It was just going into kind of something about the God, because it...
Oh, okay. Well, go to that then and talk about the God. This is also talking about God also, though. When you look at 1 Peter 5, it's still going into God.
Right, we'll go into that then. All right. You want to read this first? Or?
Yeah, we'll read that first then.
All right.
Go ahead.
This is Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, the book of Sirach, chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 9 down to 11. It says... Winnow not with every wind, and go not into every way, for so does the sinner that has a double tongue. That's somebody that's
two-timing, really.
Yeah, you're saying you have one knowledge, you're dealing with Christ, but then you want to throw in a little Islam or something that's contrary to that. So you go into two different directions with your teachings,
mm-hmm.
You know. And it says, be steadfast in thy understanding, and let thy word be the same. Be swift to hear, and let thy life be sincere, and with patience give answers. The reason I'm reading that, because if we're saying we servants of Christ, we have to understand what the doctrine of Christ is. You know what I'm saying? We can't say we're servants of Christ and then be servants of men, and doing things and following things which is contrary to Christ, because you're not being sincere. Because if you being sincere, I mean, I understand nobody's perfect, but when you're working, you're supposed to work towards perfection. That's what the scriptures talk about, that we're supposed to be perfect. We're supposed to work towards being perfect. Not talking about that we just rehearsing or we just practicing. No, this ain't no rehearsal. You're building yourself up and you're getting stronger and stronger so you can be like Christ, so you can be perfect. So... you can't be dealing with deception and falsehood. You have to study for yourself and know the scriptures and know what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to go to 1 Peter 5. I'm going to go to 1 Peter 2 and just hit on the guile thing a little bit more before we end it. I think it's a good scripture to really kind of like, you know, add to what you just said and end it, unless you want to go to another scripture. But 1 Peter chapter 2, let's read verse 1.
All right, 1 Peter 2 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
Yeah, so this is a real nice scripture, man,
mm-hmm.
Especially dealing with the guile. You got to really understand that a lot of points that we brought out today about people being deceived, because guile is going into being deceived. When we said earlier how people instigate, cause divisions and schisms in churches, you have guile in you. You're deceiving people. You're lying on people. You're no different than them lying on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? coming up with all these different things that they just wanted to find him so guilty so they could kill him. But we know he was fulfilling the scripture.
Yeah.
But they set up liars,
yeah.
you know, people to lie on Christ.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And you have a lot of these so-called Israelite groups that's lying on brothers and their families, lying on sisters, causing splits and divisions and hatreds, you know, among the so-called gathering of Christ church. Mm-hmm. You call yourself the gathering of Christ church, but yet the schism and divisions in that church that you're making one group or one family hate another group or another family. That's guiling you.
Mm-hmm.
When none of this stuff is true and you're just coming up with this because of whatever form of hatred you have towards an individual, you want to make up a story and instigate something to cause someone to have hatred towards somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, that's guile. You also have, you know, hypocrisies and evil speakings, which all falls underneath that. So what we're trying to show you is that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby, meaning repent. Understand what you're doing is wrong. The scriptures tell you in the first verse, 1 Peter 2 and 1, that we're for laying aside all malice and all guile. So lay that aside. I have this water right here, and I'm going to put it to the side. I'm going to lay it aside and have nothing to do with it. You have to lay aside that evilness that you're creating in that church, or that evilness and that hatred that you have towards other individuals. You need to lay it aside. You need to repent and grow thereby. Meaning you shouldn't be getting worse, and we shouldn't keep hearing this happening over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be getting better to where you're repairing the situation, and there's no more instigating. There's no more schism and divisions among your group. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we're just trying to give you an example of how to repent and how to stop, you know, chasing that evil and that hatred in your heart. Because you can tell if someone's really overcoming because they're going to stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to stop overnight, but they're going to progress. They're going to grow thereby and get rid of it little by little.
Okay. I just got one more scripture I'm going to try to hit real quick. This is because I keep saying we got to be perfected in Christ, so
yeah.
I want to read it. This is Ephesians 4. We're going to read 11 on down. And this is what brothers are supposed to be teaching. It's not really all about, I mean, if you want to teach certain things like history and stuff, do your thing. But this is the most important thing that we have to teach. This is Ephesians 4, 11 on down.
And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers.
For what purpose?
For the perfecting of the saints.
Perfecting, meaning becoming perfect, right?
Exactly.
You know?
For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Edifying is a very important word. We always hit that word, meaning instructing morally, instructing brothers and sisters how to be righteous,
mm-hmm.
how to follow in righteousness. Morally. All right, we on?
Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man.
Into what type of man?
Into a perfect man.
You know?
Into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
So that's what we have to become.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So we have to learn how to apply the scriptures
mm-hmm.
and stop making excuses. You can't be out there fornicating, laying with women that are not your wife, which a lot of groups are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Multiplying wives into yourselves and all that. That's all fornication.
Mm-hmm.
Going to strip clubs and all this madness. These are all things which are very sinful.
And even hating on your... The scriptures tell
hatred.
You, hate all that hatred you have towards the black woman, because a lot of those Israelite groups out there, you hate all these black women. All these black women. Why? Aren't we supposed to teach them how to repair themselves? Teach them how to repent and become clean through the baptism of Christ? Shouldn't we teach them that?
That's what the scriptures say.
Don't you have a mother? You hate your mother? She's a black woman. You hate your child? You have a daughter? What, you going to hate your child? She's a black woman. You see what I'm saying? We're supposed to teach them to repair our generation, man. Teach them how to repair Israel and to repair our daughters in Israel. Teach them not to commit fornication. Teach them not to serve idolatry. That's how you repair them.
And that's scripture. You know what I'm saying? That's all scripture. We coming back as a family, not individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And not only are we supposed to be followers of Christ, but our wives have to be followers of Christ. You can't have a wife that's an idolater. You know, I don't know what books y'all reading, but your wife got to be a follower of Christ also. She can't be an idolater. Brother, talking about you don't got to teach the woman nothing. What doctrine is that?
The one flesh.
And with that, we thank you for tuning in. And may the Most High in Christ bless you and increase the fruits of your righteousness. We say shalom.
Shalom.
If you would like to contact us or learn more about the Body of Christ Church, you may do so by calling, emailing, or by visiting our website. Our telephone number is 1-877-871-1716. Our email address is bodyofchrist@ureach.com. UReach is the letter U, followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Our website, thedocc.com, contains our telephone number and email address, as well as audio and video biblical lessons and other information geared toward edification in repentance and good works. Again, our website address is thedocc.com.
Please
feel free to connect with us today.
You want to talk to her?
Oh, man. Yeah, who called in? There was some other two or three areas. Was that Joseph's one? But
I don't know who. Who's the other one, Barack?
Yeah, probably Barack listens. He's like one of the faithful listeners. I wanted to go into, we probably go that another topic. I was talking about, you got to have an afro and just be an Israelite. The Most High's got it in Israel. That's why he told us to go to all nations and he's going to get after them. Whoever's mind he opened up, he's an Israelite.
You got to have an afro?
You got to have an afro and a beard and